Welcome to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Moraine, Ohio. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We pray that the Holy Spirit would give you light from the Word, as Evangelist Charlie Tinney brings the message today.
Psalms 133. What I'm going to preach about is critical to any relationship. Marriage, church, business. The topic I'm going to preach about is unity. And if you don't have that, our nation is dying because of a lack of unity. Amen. So, Psalms 133, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here before you, Lord. Lord, we'd ask you to be with the church, Lord. Lord, I know that Satan would like to destroy all churches. Lord, he'd like to do away with the United States. Lord, he'd like to do a lot of things. But Lord, I know this one thing, that you're still on the throne, you're still in charge. And God, we'd ask you to be with this congregation here today. Touch our hearts and help us, Father. Dear God, we'll give you the glory, praise, and honor for it all. In Christ's name, amen. We find it in the book of Psalms here. We have the Song of Degrees. And this happens to be the 14th in Psalms 133 is the 14th Song of Degree. And we want to give you a little outline that you can study for yourself. If you go back to the first Song of Degree, you'll find it is in Psalms 120, and it deals with the hearing Lord. Then we come to Psalms 121, which deals with the Heavenly Father. You go to Psalms 122, and it deals with the house of gladness. You go to Psalms 123, a heavenly hope. Psalms 124, the topic for it is a heavenly protector. Psalms 125, it talks about the hedge of the Lord. In Psalms 126, it's the heavenly seed, which is Christ our Savior. Amen. That was written 536 B.C. These have been around for a long time. Amen. Amen. The heritage builder. That's in Psalms 127. It's through him that we have a heritage. We have an eternity. Amen. In Psalms 128, these are all about Christ, is what I'm trying to point out to you. Before they even knew who Christ was, they were worshiping as they went up the steps to the temple. These degrees were saying, amen. They already knew him, they just didn't know his name. Amen. He has many names, amen, but they didn't know that one called Christ. Amen. He's a heritage builder. Psalms 128, he's the heavenly blesser. Amen. Psalms 129, he's the heavenly liberator. Amen. In Psalms 130, he's the heavenly redeemer. In Psalms 131, he's the humility of hope. Man, we have to have some humility in our hope. Amen. And Psalms 132, the habitation of the Lord. Psalms 132, the habitation of unity. And Psalms 134, the last one, the 15th one, he's the Hosanna of the servants. If there's nothing that I can get through to you, regardless how old you are, what condition you are, you can never go wrong praising God. My daddy growing up, I got to see my dad saved. I got to see him that before he went on to the Lord. But early on in my life, my dad would go out. In the wintertime, there'd be somebody needed coal or wood. Dad would go get it and take it to him and not charge him a penny. And I said, "Dad, why do you do that?" He said, "Son, you just can't go wrong helping people." That's the kind, Dad didn't know the Lord then, but he was raised different than we are. Today it seems to be all about us. There's no unity when it's all about us. When it's all about one person, one thing. Amen? The church, in order for it to exist and to continue, there has to be unity. Nothing can really exist without unity. A car engine, the reason that it runs, the reason my car engine ran from West Virginia here, because there's a unity in that engine. Amen? All the pistons are firing at the right time, doing the right things. And because that engine has unity, it got me to here. Amen? Right. Listen, the church, everyone in it has a part. And when every part works the way it's supposed to, God looks upon it and smiles, and that is unity. Amen. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, this says in my Bible, that's a song of degrees of David. May I say that I believe the Lord was speaking for the Lord right there? You know what pleases the Lord? How good, how pleasant it is for the brethren. How wonderful it is to look down at my children. And they're not fighting each other. They're not envying each other. They're not wanting what somebody else has got. They're just happy with what they have and the blessings of God. I found out if you're happy with what you got, God will probably give you what you don't need. Amen? That's just my life. Amen? I gave up a good paying job. I went on the road. I didn't know where the next paycheck was coming from. I told my pastor, I said, listen, nobody knows me, and I don't know anybody. I don't know nobody. I mean, our little church is still on the side of the hill. We got about 40, 50 people coming, if it all come. Nobody knows him. He didn't have a... One guy told me eventually, said, well, the preacher gave me his phone book. My preacher didn't even have a phone book with preachers in it. Amen. He didn't know nobody, and I didn't know nobody. I told the Lord, I said, this, I remember surrendering to it. I said, Lord, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. And I argued with the Lord. I said, listen, I've got a business. I've got equipment. I've got all that thing. And I said, I can't do it. There's just no way. I got a house. I got a mortgage. I got all those things. There's no way I can serve you. There's no way I can do this. Nobody knows me. It won't work. I fought him for a few weeks. I got to live in a farmhouse. It was built in 1898, and I was up in one of those upper rooms of that farmhouse praying, arguing with God. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll show you it won't work. I'll just do it. That's been over 20 years ago. I went to church that Sunday, and I went to the altar, and I gave in to the Lord. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Sunday night, I got to pondering about it all day Sunday, thinking about it, and I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll probably have to sell my equipment, and I guess that'll get my money to go. But I said, it's going to take months, maybe, you know, weeks, months. It's going to take a long time to get it, everything. I had soothed my worries, and I went to church that night, and I stood up and announced. I said, well, the Lord called me into evangelism this morning. I'm going on the road. I sat down, and the guy in the back of the church, I mentioned about selling my survey equipment. The guy in the back of the church stood up and said, I'll buy it. Just happened to be two other surveyors in our church. Amen. We're surveyor poor in our church. Amen. You know what God did? He took a nothing. A nobody. He used it. Amen. My church have always been behind me. I asked my preacher, I said, well, what if it don't work? He says, come home, Charlie. My preacher today said, if you break down something, you call us. We'll be coming after you. I wouldn't give anything for my church. Amen. I've been in that church all my practically all my Christian life. Somebody said, well, when I went into evangelism, said, you need to move to a bigger church, you know, so you get more. I said, no. I don't believe in living in one place and being a member of a church halfway across the country. I believe in a local church. Amen. I'm in the same church. Amen. It's not a church I got saved in, but right after I got saved, the Lord brought me to that church. You said, you don't want to go over there. They're Bible thumpers. No, the Lord knew what I needed. Amen. And listen, all these years, we get along. We don't have fights in our business meeting. Amen. I mean, we don't argue over the color of the carpet. We're more interested in souls. We're in a good church. We're a bunch of hillbillies. But through the years, we've learned how to get along and love one another. The different personalities in our church is pretty wide. But somehow, it's amazing to me every time I think about it, how God bring all these people together and they're from different backgrounds, different professions, and yet somehow they get along. And there's a sweet spirit there. What is it? That's unity. One of the things that brings unity is all of us believe that book. That's the one thing that's been from the time I went to that church. This is the Word of God. There is not another version. There is not another way. There's only one truth. If there was more than one truth, then it wouldn't be truth. It's the simplicity of the Word of God. But listen what God said here. He said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. You want to please God? You want Him to look down at your church and just say, oh, that smells good. Oh, that's wonderful. It's unity. And then He gives us an example. He said it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. I picture Moses as he's anointing Aaron. I think we could put here that Moses there was a type of God as he poured out the oil on the priest. And I can see that precious ointment. I mean, that ointment's so precious, it was only used. It wasn't used anyplace else except in that area. It was precious. It was rare. It was used for one particular thing. Amen. And he said, it's like that precious ointment upon the head, amen. A precious ointment, that's not one that's common. It's not common to have unity in the church today. That's not common. If you've got it here, you ought to be praising God for it, and you ought to be endeavor to keep it, amen. Amen. It's a precious ointment. It's not common, but rare, and only used in the house of God. This is the only place you're going to find that kind of precious ointment. Amen. And I believe the Holy Ghost of God's got something to do with it. He's the dispenser of the ointment. Amen. We see Moses there as a type of God. He's pouring it on the head. And it begins at the head and flows down over his garments. Christ is the head. And we are the body. Amen. But let me tell you. You got an under-shepherd here. Amen. I know Christ is the head of the church, but He's the under-shepherd. And when God pours it out, it starts from the top. And if your preacher don't get it, you're not getting it. Amen. So what you want to do is pray for that precious ointment that God had poured out on the church as a body, but on Him. And when He stands behind the pulpit, He'll have that fresh ointment. He'll have that touch of God. Amen. And that's what we need. Because it starts flowing down over the head, the shoulders, the arms, chest, thighs, the legs. Well, what about those poor feet? How important are the feet of the body. You're not going nowhere, church, without feet. I don't care how good a pastor you got. I don't care how good a head you got. If you haven't got feet on the church, if you haven't got people willing to go out and pass out tracts, if you haven't got people willing to visit sick people, get in the ministry, bring people in the church. If the church is not moving, then there's no feet on it. We'll send the feet so one lasts to get it. But they're down where it's pulled up, amen. They're down there in the bottom where they can walk around in it. They can soak their feet in it, amen. The feet get everything that's come down clear over the bottom. And they got extra that's on. God's got more than enough for every part of the body, amen. Even if you're a toe, amen, you're going to get it. Even if you are a foot, you're going to get it. May I tell you that the feet often need it worse than the head. How in, you know, if you're a workman, you understand how good a pair of work shoes are. You're on concrete all day. Listen, if you got some people that are feet, they're out knocking on doors and stuff, don't expect them to do everything in the church too. If you wear out the feet, the body stops. It wouldn't help you to help those ones. You know what I found out the older I got? I got to pay more attention to my feet. Amen. I heard this illustration once. Said there's 100 people on the bus. The bus breaks down. 10 people get out and push the bus, but it's still moving. Just about 10% of the church is doing something. The rest of them are riding. The feet are out there pushing. Amen? Yeah. Why, I can say, maybe you can't be a foot. Maybe you can't go. Maybe you can't do those things. But you sure could help them a little bit. Encourage them a little bit. Thank them. You know, when you have unity, when every part of the body gets the ointment, when everybody in the service gets a touch of the Holy Ghost. You ever been in a service like that? At the campground, our campground, over the years, this is how I know when God's showing up. When you see a little child sitting on his mama's lap and that little child begins to cry, and there's no reason for it. Just a few moments later, the whole crowd gets it. You know why that child got it first? Innocence. I've seen them. I've seen this. They say, what's wrong? I don't know, Mommy. What's wrong? Just a little bit later, Mom's crying. We're shouting. People's at the altar bawling. What happened? God's pouring out the precious ointment. Amen. Listen. It's important for the whole body to get it. Yes, it starts at the top. Amen. But it goes down to the bottom. And the feet, you can just walk around in it. Amen. We look at a foot once and think it's bad, but what would a soldier be without feet? What would a basketball player would be without feet? Well, I've got head knowledge. Well, you can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing. Church, if you want to move, it has to be movement in unity, in agreement. Amen? It has to be together. Because if you don't go together, you tear apart the body. Amen? Amen. Unity. What brings about unity? We'll talk about that. We got some examples I want to deal with, and then we're going to look at the plan of unity. Then they look in verse 3. It says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Dew is moisture that's drawn into the air as water becomes a vapor and rises, and then the air interacts with all that it touches when conditions are right, called dew point. Dew point is a relation between the plants and the air, and occurs when the air deposits its water upon the plant and everything around it. We can surely like the moisture and the air from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. When the Word is preached, the water is poured out, and the Holy Ghost picks it up and becomes in a vapor, the dew falls. Dew point has come. And the air interacts with the Word of God. The Spirit interacts with the Word of God. And everybody gets a touch. That's unity. When you have a service and everybody gets it. Years ago in charity, I know it's not in this anymore. That breaks my heart. But I saw the dew fall. And it got me, and it got my wife, and it got everybody around us. We were bawling, crying. We didn't even know what was going on. We were so overwhelmed by the presence of God. That one time, Danny Mac got up and testified. That's all he did. And I mean, for hours, people going to the altar. A woman with no hands, no feet. She's walking around with her children praising God. She used to be a piano player. I never get over that kind of stuff. When dew falls, amen, God moves in, amen. And we didn't care what anybody else. We loved everybody. We was hugging each other's neck. We was telling them we loved them, amen. And we just enjoyed. It was like I don't know what it was like. I've got nothing to compare it onto on this earth, amen. That's what the church needs when they become a one. It's not we. It's just the church. We're one unit, one body. We all get that same touch. We all get that interaction with the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, how you crave that when you preach the Word of God, they all get it, amen. They all get a touch, amen. When that happens, it doesn't happen as much as it used to. People don't want to go to the altar. They don't want to be touched by God. They don't want to cry. They don't want to show their emotions. They don't want to feel His presence. They just want to feel comfortable. But I tell you what, for that moment, amen, when God moves in, God touches you, He just lifts all the burdens. Dew point. That's when the whole church, the whole body, is getting that touch of God. If you ever got up in the morning, the dew has fallen. When the sun rises, it appears that all have been adorned with jewels from above. If we get up on that morning, you look out there, and I mean, it just looks diamonds everywhere. All those dew drops are on everything. And that sun comes up, shines and reflects in the... It's beautiful. Some of you ought to get up in the morning and take a look at the sunrise once in a while. Amen. Dew point, a relationship between when the sun rises, it appears all have been adorned with jewels from above. Then the gentleness, the freshness, the adornment of dew. There's a smell on a morning like that. It just smells so fresh. Because the dew muffles all the smells of the flowers and all the smells, and it's just a fresh fragrance. Amen. That is what unity is in the church. when every member has a relationship with the Holy Ghost of God. That's when the dew falls. Amen. Now, we talk about this unity. Let's look at the person of unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Well, that dew of Hermon, you know what Hermon is? It's a mountain north of Israel. They have a ski resort up there. It's a high mountain. And that water comes from there and moves down towards Jerusalem and it falls on the city. Amen. Well, where does all that dew come from? God's mountain. God's place. Amen. But let's look at the place of unity. What is the place of unity? It's the church. It's the church. That's the place of unity. Who is the person of unity? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even we are called on the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Who is the person of unity? Who dwells in every one of us? It is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Ghost that's the person of unity that all brings us together in one relationship. In one body. In one unit. Am I making sense? Shake your head or something. I'll keep you awake shaking your head. Amen. I know it's hard to preach to people after they eat. It really is. You want to go to sleep. Amen. So the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit of which the apostle speaks, it should be observed, is an internal unity. A unity between the spirits of men. It may subsist and therefore be between persons of different nations, educations, and conditions. How many different kinds of people do we have in here today? I mean, talking to you, there's a bunch of radically different personalities. Amen? Some people are shy, some people are more outgoing. But somehow God puts us all together. In the normal world, would we all get along like we do at church? Probably not. I mean, in our church, there's diversity, different people. There's loud people, there's quiet people. You know? Different personalities, different things. But somehow we all get along. I've never seen in the workplace unity as I've seen in the church. Amen? That spirit. We get along. But even though we're different educations, different conditions, different nations, that one thing brings us together. It is the unity of affection, mutual love, desire of, delight in each other, a mutual sympathy for each other. Let me ask you, do you care for your brother? Do you pray for your pastor? You know what I had to learn? There's some people in my line of work that I don't like their personality. But I have to love them anyway. So I know the way they act. I give it to God and go on. That's God's business. It's not my business to change them. No, you wouldn't want me to do a brain operation on you, would you? You want me to open up your head and change your... You wouldn't trust me to do that. So you know what God told me? Charlie, there's some things you ain't got no business trying to fix. Leave it to me. Amen. There are some people in the church that's going to go around and try to fix everybody. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to pray for them. And the more that they annoy you, the more you ought to pray for them. Because part of the problem is not them, it's you. And eventually God will say, I've been working on them, now I'm going to start on you. Amen. Hey, you got to know, you got to accept people as what they are, what they look like, and what they can do. That doesn't mean you did quit teaching them the Bible and telling them what's right. But only God can really change them. Amen? In other words, it's good to pray for them and let the Holy Ghost do His work. And the best thing you can do is love them, have an affection for them, and care for them. Amen? It is in a unity of intention. One and all must have the same in view, the glory of God in our own salvation and the salvation of others. What's the purpose of this church? To see people saved. Is that not the main purpose of a church? No, that we can continue to exist, that we can keep our little group together. No, it's to grow and see people saved. That's what our whole intention is. That's why we have missions. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we do this. Because our intention, and we realize through the Word of God, that people need to be saved. That's what Jesus Christ died for. That's what John 3:16 is all about. Amen. The mission. May I tell you that a military can never be worth anything if they don't have all unity in their mission. When a unit goes out, they all get the same orders. They all know what's going to happen. They all get filled in. They all know the enemy. Amen? It's a unity of resolution. We're going to keep on to the end. We're going to keep on keeping on. That's the terminology we hear. Keep on keeping on. We're not quitting. We're not giving up until the Lord comes back and takes us out of here. Amen. That's the unity of the Spirit. It's a unity of operation. It means we can work together. If you ever had a crew that you had one guy that just didn't fit in, I mean, no matter, you know, I'm looking over here as a surveyor because we got something in common. I'm a surveyor. Well, I've had guys that no matter how hard you train them, how hard they would never fit in. They'd never know when. I mean, how hard is it to hold a plumb bob for a bath site? Back in the days when we didn't have the communication. Somebody said, how'd you get your preaching voice? Yell them at Rodman. Over traffic. And back then we didn't have the fancy radios. Later on we got them, amen. But I was hollering over from one mountaintop, hey, stupid, hold the bob up so I can see it. What? I said, what do you think I'm doing over here? In other words, when it's an operation of unity, everybody knows their part. They know what they're supposed to be doing. And they ought to be ready to do it when the time comes for it to get done. Amen? That's the unity of the Spirit. But if you haven't got the Holy Ghost leading you and you're not listening to the Holy Ghost like I preached about earlier today or last night or whenever I preached it, amen, then you're going to be out of the loop. Amen? Now we've looked at the person of unity, we've looked at the place of unity, let's look at the plan of unity. First the people, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, Ephesians 4:11. What's His plan? He gave some leaders, just like the military. You can like the church to the military in many ways. What? This is leadership. He gave the apostles. He gave the prophets. He gave some evangelists. This is His plan. The apostles, the prophets, and then the evangelists, and then the pastors and the teachers. That's His plan. I know that we're in this latter part of it, the pastors and the teachers now. You know what that kind of thing? Maybe we're getting near the end of this plan. Amen? There's a plan of unity. He set it up. There's not only a plan of unity, there's the purpose of unity. What is the purpose of this, of unity? Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What is the perfecting of the saints? You know what saints are? In several places in the Bible, Paul says, to the saints and the holy brethren. Oh, to the saints and the faithful brethren. I'm sorry. You know what he's made? He's made a division there between saints and faithful brethren. But what are saints? Well, in my idea, saints are probably older people who've been around God for a while. They got the touch of God on them, and they got some holiness. And every church needs some saints in it. Because young people know what they need to grow up to be like. What's a faithful brethren? That's the ones that always show up. That's the ones that do the work. I can't find a definition. When the saints go marching in, I know. Well, do you don't think a faithful brethren is going to get in? I do. I think an unfaithful brethren will get in. But there's something about being a saint. And I don't want to go into the Catholic thing about it, but there is seems to be some kind of place there for a saint in the church. And I tend to believe it's older people. I think white hair indicates that you just might be a saint. One guy said, I thought that all people, one young man said this, he said, I thought all people had gray hair in the church, were saints, were Christian. Looks like they've been around long enough, they ought to know. Amen? Oh, I know mine's mostly bald, but I thank God for this gray hair. It labels me, I'm not coloring it. Hey, it's a gift of God, amen. It shows, yeah, through that white hair, there's some worries, there's some prayer, amen. And some of it was so intense that I lost part of it, amen. But it's a crown. It's part of being older. And I think being a saint. Yeah, you can take that and do whatever you want to it. That's just Charlie Tenney's thought. Amen. Hey, but the perfecting of the saints. A saint never quits growing. I've learned stuff here today from surveyor, from your pastor, from other people that's talked to me. They've told me different stuff I didn't know. It all went into my brain. And simply being in the church and wanting to know more about God, and even sitting back there talking, I've learned things that I didn't know. I've grown closer to God because of the church. Amen. If you can do that in the church, that's a sign of unity. The perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry. You know, we all ought to be interested in the work. I know you got some people that do things. They got ministries that go out of this church. We all ought to be interested in that. We all ought to be wanting to know, well, how'd it go today? How'd things go? When I go home, they ask me, how'd it go? Did anybody get saved? Well, how'd the services go? They want to know what. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the body. They want to know how it went. Hey, it's the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body. Well, let me ask you, when one person gets saved, don't we all get happy? When one person gets a victory, don't we all get happy? If we're praying for one and God just gives them what they're asking for or heals them or whatever he does, doesn't the whole body get edified? Listen, if you're really have that unity in the church, when somebody gets something, it makes you feel good. It doesn't make you feel angry because God didn't give that to you. You're happy that God touched them, that God used them. Amen. Then we find it's a unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure. It's a unity of faith. We all believe we have that faith in this King James Bible. And we all know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We've got faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That brings unity, and knowledge of the Son of God brings unity. Amen. Stability. We henceforth are no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to deceive. Amen. We have stability. We're not listening to all the things on TV and on the radio and trying to come in and change doctrine and change everything. Listen, somebody on the internet can't get on there. You think everything on the internet's true anymore? No. Most of it's a lie and a falsehood. Amen. If you want the truth, get you a King James Bible, and everything you get on the internet, compare it to what this book says. That includes politics and everything else. Amen. Hey, what is the product? We're going to speak the truth in love. Listen, I might be boring you right now, but I love you. Amen? And listen, I'm trying to preach this because I think it's so important for the church to have unity. Because there's one thing that I, in my 20-plus years of going to churches and preaching, I have seen the splits. I have seen the unity fall apart. I've seen the church destroyed. And I don't want to be the cause of it. And I don't want to happen to any church. Amen. And the only way that we're going to do that is to have unity. One book, one God, one Spirit, one Word, one way. One truth, one is unity. Two is division. Amen? Well, you know, I think we need another version of the Bible. Let's get another. No, that just brings division. That just brings destruction. The place of unity is a church. It's where the dew falls. And if you've ever been in a service like that, you'll never forget it. Never, never. You'll crave it. You'll crave it for the rest of your life. Then we find that person of unity. It's the Holy Ghost that lives in us, that brings us together. Brings all races, all creeds, all ages, all personalities into one unit. It's the Holy Ghost of God that lives in all of us, amen, that are born again. And then we have that plan of unity, faith and knowledge and the Word of God to grow in that. And that brings a purpose in our life, a unity in our life, a stability in our life. And it all brings a product of the church, which is souls saved, people's lives changed, prayers answered, miracles happening, missionaries all over the world. Amen. We're a little church. I think we got 27 missionaries on the board. I remember my former pastor, he looked up there and he said, you know why this church is still here? To that board right there. We went through a time when people left. You know, it's interesting, they left the church, but they didn't take their missionary with them. So my pastor said, come to us and said, now listen, we need to make up the difference. He said, I don't care about the ones that left. I don't care about that. No, we need to make up the difference. Those missionaries are going to get everything that we promised they get. And some of you need to, hey, you know what? Every missionary that I've had opportunity out of our church said, there's one thing about your church. He said, and I guess I'm bragging on my church a little bit. But he said, your missionary support is never late. When we go, it's always there. It's always all that you promised. And it always shows up on time. And I give credit to our treasurer for that. My pastor even said, he said, if they're not given, you take it out of the main fund of the church. The missionaries are going to get their money. You know what? God blessed us. We had always want to help missionaries. And God always blesses you. He always does. Why? That's part of the unity of the church. I hope that you, if we just take a moment and think about this, and I'll close with this. Is there anybody you got an odd against in here? Something that's bothering you about them? Something that's been... It doesn't necessarily have to tell them about it. But if you go up here and tell Christ about it, you say, why are you doing that? I don't know why I preach this message. It's what God put on my heart to preach. But I know that just one little... you give the devil one little crack, one little place to get in, he'll destroy it all. Well, you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. Let me ask you this. What did you do to Christ this week? How many times did you disobey Him? Maybe did something you wasn't supposed to do. Did Christ get mad at you? Did He bring down a thunderbolt and destroy you? No, He had patience with you. He had kindness towards you. He's given you time to get right with Him. Would you not give your brother the same amount of grace that God gave you? Said, why you preach? I don't know. But I think we need to strive for unity. Dear Father, I thank You for the opportunity. Let that precious ointment, let that dew point fall. Let the church be unified in Thee, Father, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Preacher.
Thank you for listening to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. If you are in the Dayton, Ohio area, we would love to have you join us in person. We are located at 6953 Germantown Pike in Moraine, Ohio. Our regular service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. Once again, thank you for listening to Light from the Word. And we will also be at the Germantown Pretzel Festival. We will have a booth there on September 25th and 26th. Until next time, thank you and good day.